I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, and I'd like to read from Galatians 3, 1 through verse 14 in Galatians chapter 3. Hear God's word. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provide you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them." Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man will live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd be pleased to give us grace as we have opportunity to look into it. We ask that you would deal kindly and tenderly with us and show your mercy through your word by the power of your Spirit. For we pray these things in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to direct your attention this evening to Galatians 3, verses 9 through 14. This is my text taken from Galatians chapter 3. After I had the privilege of graduating from the military academy at West Point, my first regular army assignment was in Korea, and I was assigned to the 13th Signal Battalion of the 1st Cavalry Division, north of Seoul, and had a base camp there. It was the division headquarters, and I had an opportunity to get acquainted with the division chaplain. I was not a Christian at the time. One morning, I went to the chaplain's office after I had given a class for my company. And I sat down in the chaplain's office. He looked at me and he said, "Lieutenant, why are you here?" I said, "I don't have the vaguest notion." The very next words out of his mouth were, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Figuring it was not a good thing to lie to the chaplain, I said, "No, I have not." And he proceeded to get out a New Testament and relate to me the fact that I was a sinner. He went to verses like, Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, he didn't need to tell me I was a sinner. I knew that already. In fact, it was abundantly evident to me that that was the case. And he proceeded then to go to other texts to explain the gospel, that Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross, that he might lead us to God. And for the first time in my life, I actually heard the gospel. Yes, I had heard it before, if you understand me, but for the first time in my life, I actually heard the gospel. And I did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I learned on that day that the blessing of God comes by faith in Jesus Christ, not on the basis of performance. I had always been taught a good work ethic and that performance was important. But I learned on that day, faith in Jesus Christ, not performance, is what gives you blessing before God. And that's what Paul is leading us toward in this text. This is a text that he speaks to the church, to the churches at Galatia. And so I think it's applicable for you and for me. And Paul is making this very same point, that faith in Jesus Christ, not performance, is your path to blessing before God. As we get into this text, I'd like you to look first of all at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, where Paul makes this abundantly clear. Verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul is very clear, it seems to me, that the law is not a way of justification. And by justification, Paul means that God is no longer offended with you, and you are no longer offended with God. My wife and I watched a part of a debate last evening between Christopher Hitchens, who is a well-known British atheist, and Dinesh D'Souza, who is a Christian from India. And during the course of the debate, Christopher Hitchens scoffed at the notion of faith in Jesus Christ. He scoffed openly and publicly at the notion of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he berated the idea of the gospel, and that openly and publicly. And he was applauded for doing so. But the text which is before us abundantly makes clear that the way of the law is not a way of justification. That God comes to people like you and me through faith, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we receive a righteousness from God and the forgiveness of our sins, and God is no longer offended with us, and we no longer take the position of Christopher Hitchens and are offended at God. This is a very good thing. And so Paul presents this very clearly. The righteous man shall live by faith. And in opposition to this, he says, now no one is justified by the law before God is evident. And Paul says this, the very same thing in Galatians 3:21. If you look at that text, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. You see, righteousness, justification, does not come through the law. And Paul says this also in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But friends, that is not the case. And Paul is pressing this very issue. And as you go to the very next verse, verse 12 in Galatians 3, you see that the Apostle Paul quotes from the law. He has just quoted from one of the prophets, from Habakkuk. But now he quotes from the law, from Leviticus chapter 18. And it's verse 5 that he has in mind. I'd like you to keep your finger there in Galatians and turn with me, if you would, to the Old Testament and to Leviticus chapter 18. And to this section from which the apostle quotes. Leviticus chapter 18. Let's read the first 5 verses. Leviticus chapter 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall not make their way a manner of life for you. You shall not live as they lived, and you shall not go into Canaan and live as the Canaanites. You are to perform, verse 4, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. You are to follow my rules. You are to follow my statutes. You are to keep my commandments. That is to be your manner of life. Verse 5, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man lives if he does them." And verse 5 presents to many folks a little bit of a problem. And when they get to verse 5, there's a little wrinkle in their brow. Perhaps there's a little wrinkle in your brow at this point. The thing I want you to see is this, that what Paul says in Leviticus 18:5 is that Moses is presenting a way of life to the people of God. And if they actually do live by that law, they perform that law. That's what Moses is saying. And he's doubling up, I think, in his language. Now, I'm following here, just to give myself a little bit of backup. Preachers like to do this, you know. Just to give myself a little bit of backup, I'm following John Murray on this in his exposition of Leviticus 18 in his appendix to his commentary on Romans. And I also checked with my colleague at the seminary who teaches Old Testament to make sure I was on the right track. And he said that he thought I was okay here. And so I commend to you the idea from Leviticus, you see, that what Moses is giving to the people of God is principally a way of life. And you'll notice this at the beginning of Leviticus 18. I am the Lord your God. That would remind the people of what? The preface to the Ten Commandments. The Catechism asks the question, what is the preface to the Ten Commandments? The preface to the Ten Commandments is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What does the preface to the Ten Commandments teach us? Listen to this now. The preface to the Ten Commandments teaches us that because the Lord is God and our God and our Redeemer, therefore we are bound to keep all of His commandments. The law is given to a redeemed people. And you need to remember that, and I need to remember that. It is given to a redeemed people as a way of life. It is not given to the people as a way to perform for God so that God will pat them on the back and somehow add merit to their lives. That is not the purpose of the Ten Commandments. And I think Leviticus 18 shows us that this is the case. Now, I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 3. And you're going to have to work with me a little bit. And I know you're able to do this. So please do work with me a little bit. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. The New American Standard Version reads this way. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. The law is not of faith, Paul says. The law is not of faith. Some of the versions translate it this way. The law is not based upon faith. But I submit to you, dear friends, in Jesus Christ, that in many ways the law is based upon faith. Now, I'm not trying to oppose the Apostle Paul, nor am I trying to oppose Moses. In fact, I am trying to line up with both of them. In many ways, I submit to you, the law is in fact based upon faith. Because the only way that you are capable of keeping any of the commandments in any way whatsoever is if God Himself has given you a new heart and placed a vital faith in your heart and given you a love for Him and you desire with all of your heart to follow those commandments. What does Jesus say? If you love me, you shall keep my commandments. And if there is a vital love in your heart, and if there is a faith in your heart, you have a desire to follow the commandments of God as a way of life. And we know also that James, in his epistle, packs faith and obedience together. And he tells us that obedience to the written word of God is an evidence of the fact that you do have a vital faith in Jesus Christ. So there is a sense, I submit to you, that the law is based upon faith. If that is the case, what is Paul saying here? Well, I want to make a suggestion to you as to what Paul is saying here. Notice again, verse 11. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. What is this faith? This faith is the way of justification. There is no other way for right standing before God except faith in Jesus Christ. And those words, by faith or of faith, represent for you and me the alone means, as the confession puts it, of justification. This is the way of justification. But it happens that Paul uses those very same words in Galatians 3:12. The law is not of faith or by faith. It's exactly the same words as in verse 11. And I suggest to you that what Paul is saying is this in verse 12. The law is not of faith. That is, it is not a way of justification. The law is not a way of justification. And that is true, is it not? Now I want you to look at that verse again, because in some of the versions it begins with but or however. In the New American Standard Version it begins with however. The King James Version, I think, renders it in a better fashion. It begins with and the law is not of faith. That is, the law is not a way of justification. And then Paul quotes from Leviticus 18:5. That is the way of life. And he affirms that the law is not a way of justification by quoting from Leviticus 18:5 and displaying the fact that the law actually is a way of life for you and me. And I think that actually is Paul's argument. Now, I'll confess to you that I'm in the minority here. So I want you to know that. And I tell my students that I say this sort of thing when I find myself in a minority position. And I want you to know that. But I challenge you to study this text. Because I think Paul is being faithful to the Old Testament here as he presents us this argument. And the problem is, you see, that if you take the law in any way as a way of justification and put yourself under the law as a way of justification, if you take that step, and Christians are often going in that direction. Christians are often going in that direction. That's why the Apostle Paul is so adamant here. He's speaking to the churches at Galatia. He's speaking to those who have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you see. And he's going after this whole idea that it is abundantly inappropriate for us to place ourselves under the law as a covenant of works in a way that we think we can do things which are meritorious before God. The law is not of faith. It is not a way of justification. And if you do that, you see, Paul says in verse 10, you put yourself under the curse. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. And Paul quotes Moses again. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 27. And when you read Deuteronomy chapter 27, it is a rehearsal of several curses. And this quotation here in Galatians 3 happens to be the final one. In other words, this is the sum of all the curses that are brought against those who think arrogantly that they can put themselves under the law and in some way be meritorious before God. I say Christians can slip into this mode. I had a student in class who asked me this question. He raised his hand one day in class. He said, Dr. Prudhoe, if I complete all my assignments, will you give me extra credit? Right, you laugh, don't you? But you see how we can slip into that mode of thinking that if we do something that's good, we'll get a pat on the back from God. I reminded this student of what Jesus said with regard to a servant. Jesus said with regard to a servant, that the servant would come and do all of the things that his master required. Although he'd been working in the field all day, he would come in and serve his master at the table. And Jesus said of the servant, when the servant gets done with all of these things that he has done and has accomplished his duty, the servant should say, I am an unworthy servant. Why? Because all I've done is accomplish my duty. It's not any great thing to accomplish your duty. And that's the point, in part, you see. And do you think that you, or should I think that I, am able to do something before God that is way above and beyond the call to duty? I think not. I think not. In fact, you see, what Paul says in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. God's curse rests upon you if you slip into that mode of thinking that somehow what you do is meritorious before God in any respect whatsoever, because it is by faith not performance, that blessing comes before God. You see, that's the point of the text. And the wonderful thing, you see, my friends, is this. The wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ comes and redeems people like you and me who think wrongly that somehow we can do right before God on the basis of performance. Jesus Christ comes and redeems us from the curse of the law. Look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The Apostle Paul is again quoting from the Old Testament, and I'd like you to keep your finger in Galatians again and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. Through Moses, we have these words. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. There is this idea of hanging the corpse on the tree. And Israel did that, for example, with the king of Ai, when they went in to Ai and surrounded Ai and slaughtered the people after they'd had an unfortunate occurrence beforehand. And they slaughtered all of the people. They took the king of Ai and they hanged him on a tree. And this was to portray to all the watching world that the city of Ai was cursed by God. That was the idea, you see. That hanging of the corpse of the king symbolized the fact that that nation was cursed by God and they were to be destroyed by Israel. And so it was that Jesus Christ came along. And God sent him into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could keep every stipulation of that law perfectly for the likes of you and me. And not only so, so that he would take the curse of the law, and be publicly humiliated on that cross, and darkness would fall upon him. And he would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he would experience in his own flesh and body that curse that the Old Testament speaks of. And he took that curse for you. And he took that curse for me. And that's what Paul is telling us as you go back to Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 4 years ago in Iraq, this security company by the name of Blackwater had some men killed in Fallujah. And some of you may remember this incident. Their charred bodies were hung on a bridge by the insurgents. And it was an ugly scene. And from the perspective of those Iraqis, they were sending a message to the United States of America. I don't think too many people got the message. They were sending a message to the people of America. They were saying, you see those bodies hanging on that bridge? Allah has cursed you, America. And that was the symbolism behind what they were doing. And we see a similar thing in the Bible here. And praise be unto God that Jesus Christ took the curse for you and for you and for me and redeemed you and me from that curse of death. And so the lesson is, faith in Jesus Christ, not performance, is your way of blessing before God. Look at verse 9 now in our text. So then, here are the blessed words. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's you and me. That's us. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. And what's the blessing of Abraham? There are coordinate clauses in verse 14. The first part of the verse is parallel to the second part of the verse. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the blessing of Abraham? It's the receipt of the Spirit. And how do you receive the Spirit? Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. And if God in His grace has caused you to be born again and put on your lips that confession that Jesus is Lord, you are a recipient of the grace of God. You are a recipient of the Spirit of God. And He has blessed you. And what do you do, friends? You say to God, Abba, Father. He is no longer offended with you. You're right with Him. And you are no longer offended at Him. You are right with God. That's the blessing. Faith, not performance, is the way of blessing before God. When I came home from Korea, I was a little frightened because for over a year I'd been at odds with my father at home. And when I flew from Korea to the States and to Philadelphia, I called my mother in South Jersey from Philadelphia. And I said, Mom, would you come and pick me up? She knew the routine. I knew the routine. And so I got on a bus from the airport. And when I got to the destination and got off the bus, it was evening. It was a parking lot. Got off the bus and there were just a few cars in the parking lot. I looked around and a fella got out of a car. He looked. And when he saw it was me, he ran. It was my dad. He ran. And he threw himself on my neck and gave me the biggest hug. And I was so grateful because things were right with my dad. I didn't do anything to deserve that. He loved me, plain and simple. And that's all it was. How much more, friends, with your Heavenly Father? What have you done to deserve the great salvation that God has been pleased to give to you? Nothing. But God has been pleased in His grace to love you. And that's the lesson from Galatians. It is faith in Jesus Christ, not performance, that is the way of blessing before God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, grateful we are for your grace. We are supremely undeserving. And yet, you have been pleased to come to us through Jesus Christ. And not only so, to give us the gift of your Spirit. And faith. And so, we have nothing to present to you. And you have everything to give to us in Christ. Thank you. Thank you that it is faith in Christ, not our performance, that is the way of blessing before you. Help us to understand this more and more and more, we pray. In the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.